Hi guys, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey guys.
I'm so excited. We have our very second guest on the podcast today, and it's one of our very best friends, someone super close to our heart. We are welcoming Amber Daniel to the podcast.
Oh, thanks. I'm so glad to be here. I am really excited. I am feeling a little bit of pressure though. So if I could just get this out of the way, because I've not missed an episode. Mm-hmm. And being a guest, like, I just want to make sure, like, John, are you pumped about this conversation?
I am pumped.
Yes. Okay, because if you weren't pumped, I was just going to pack my bags and go straight home.
I am, especially this one.
Okay, good. I'm glad to get that out of the way.
This is exactly why she's one of our best friends.
She knows us so well.
Oh, I love it. Okay, before we jump into today's episode, we're going to have so much fun. We have so much goodness coming. Amber is going to talk with us about how to intentionally dig into God's word, how to find consistency into digging into God's word. And when I share a little bit about our friendship, how we met, like our relationship, it'll explain more as to how like that came about. But before we do any of that and get into the goodness, we have to do our community spotlight as always.
Shout out.
Shout out time. And today is our sweet friend Nadia on Instagram. And actually Amber knows Nadia as well. She follows you too, right?
Yes. I love that connection with Nadia.
She is a sweet, sweet woman. She's a mother and she's a friend and she's so kind. I can open my DMs and find her and it will be such a random message and just be like, hey, I prayed for you today, or I wanted to know you've been an inspiration, or I'm grateful for you, or just always encouraging. Is she like that for you too?
She is. And when you told me that she would be the spotlight, I thought like that was so cool. And obviously hadn't said anything to her, hadn't said anything to anybody about this conversation coming. And just this week she shared fruit that she's seen in her life just from studying God's word. And I was like, that's amazing.
I love
it. So proud of her, encouraged by her. And so, yeah, I'm excited about that.
So Nadia, if you're listening, we see you and we appreciate you, all of us.
Mm-hmm. Hey Nadia.
Okay. Honestly, I feel like this community is going to resonate so much with this episode today. There's going to be so much goodness packed into this. And I'm really excited because anytime I share my Bible reading or a study that I'm doing, I get a lot of questions from women being like, what are you reading? How did you decide what to study? Where do you buy your stuff? Like lots of questions surrounding it, because I feel like the Bible can be so daunting and studying God's word can feel so disconnected. And we're going to change that today. Amber's going to help us with just some practical, tangible tips on making it not so difficult, because it's not, right?
Right. I love this conversation because this is genuinely something that you and I talk about on a regular basis. Hey, like, what are you reading? What is God teaching you? And it's just kind of like sharing strategies. And that's been like a really fruitful side of our friendship. So I love this idea and this chance to kind of just have the conversation.
Yeah.
Let John be with us and add his little encouragements in as well and just let people listen in. I'm excited.
John's used to being the third wheel in this friendship sometimes. If Andrew's not around, which is Amber's husband, John's used to be like, okay, I'll just go in another room. While you
know? And they FaceTime at nighttime. I'm just back around saying, hey, Amber.
Hey, John.
But I'm super excited about this as well because, you know, I've always struggled with, you know, reading the Bible. Like you said, it's just a huge book. You know, and it is, where do you start? Mm-hmm. What devotions are good ones for us? You know, I have a hard time concentrating. So yeah. I have to have something that's going to keep my attention, that's going to be quick, something that I can just read in the morning time. And I've always struggled with that. So I'm excited about this one.
Yeah. What's really cool about this episode today, too, is as Amber and I were kind of talking over this briefly, we realized that all three of us study the Bible differently, which is a really cool perspective, but that there's no one size fits all. That's okay. It doesn't have to look a certain way, and that each personality type is different. So I'm excited for people to hear kind of different ideas and take away what works for them or try things out that, you know, they may have never tried before.
Yeah. Whichever like one of us they resonate with that. Oh yeah, that might work for me. Yeah. I'm excited about that too.
Yeah.
And I think right now is a great time for that because if you're not in it, you need to get in it. Cause if you're not in the word during these tough times that we're all kind of going through and we might be going through more, it's important to have the word in you.
Mm-hmm.
And the one way to get that is to, you know, start reading.
Yes. Right.
Amen to that.
Okay, before we dig into all of those tangible things, we have to explain how Amber is a part of our life. And if any of you listened to episode 3, then you heard our homeschool story and you know and recognize Amber's name as one of the people who prayed us through the decision to homeschool. Amber is also a fellow homeschool mom. She'll share a little bit about herself in a minute. But Amber was a sounding board for me. She's always been a prayer warrior for me. She has guided me and pushed me towards digging into God's word more than anyone ever has, but in such a graceful, kind manner. She is a fellow mom to 4. Like, we have so many similarities. Mm-hmm. We go on family beach trips together now. We went on one a few years ago and we're going on another this year in September.
It's no big deal. We're counting down the days.
No big deal.
Just panicking.
Be cool. Amber's also my workout partner. Speaking of beach trip.
Yeah, right.
Not like we're working for anything or whatever, but we just do a lot together. We have weekly FaceTimes where we talk about life, but we also have accountability with one another in so many aspects. We just really do life together. And ironically, all of this happened after Amber moved away from Johnson City.
Right.
Why?
Right. I know. When I'm missing you like extra, I'm like shaking my fist at God. Like, what was that about? But I'm thankful for it. It's really, really sweet. It's kind of always been just a little encouragement both sides. For sure.
Okay. So I want to kind of jump into more interview style questions that will lead into discussion. But first, I've shared a little bit about how we know each other and our connection. But will you just tell people a little bit about you?
Yes. And just thinking about us becoming friends after I moved away, Do you remember you guys coming to visit us in, I don't remember when it was.
2020?
Yeah, I guess.
We had Cree.
Yeah. So we had become friends, like really close. So we were looking forward to seeing each other, but living apart meant like your whole family's coming.
Right.
Like John walked into the house and met Andrew and the kids like were hanging out for the first time. Oh, by the way, we're staying 2 nights. Like the week leading up to it, I remember we were like, how's this going to go?
Hope this goes well.
Make or break moment. But seriously, for like the weeks after that, we were like, I can't believe how amazing that was. 8 kids in a small house. Like it went great.
We honestly never saw our children that week.
They played. And weekend. Not because like we were all on top of each other.
Yeah.
It wasn't much space, but yeah, they just loved spending time together.
Yeah. With bunnies, alpacas, goats, chickens. I don't even know what else was there, but that was a fun weekend.
Yeah. We're not bored. That's for sure. I'm married to Andrew and we live in Greensboro, North Carolina. I homeschool. I have 4 kids and that felt like a final statement about a year ago. And now the Lord has, brought us to the point of opening up our home for children in foster care. So that feels more like a fluid number now, which is still getting used to that.
So cool.
But yeah, I have a passion for getting women, specifically studying the Bible for themselves. And so that's kind of where Equipping Arrows came in. And just that's like a creative outlet for me. That's like a discipleship opportunity for me and just an opportunity to share.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do it so well.
Aww,
you really do.
You have to say that.
Okay, so you know we're all about teamwork on this podcast, obviously. And you and Andrew have very similar beliefs. And honestly, I think one of the ways we hit it off so well, all of us, like not just us, but our husbands and our children, is because we're all very similar in the environment that we cultivate in our homes and our parenting styles. Do you guys have a very similar appreciation for teamwork?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can't imagine any other way. I mean, all the adventures that the Lord has led us on the last 14 years together. Yeah, it's teamwork for sure.
So you had to have teamwork when you went on the RV across the country, right?
You know what? I specifically said, don't mention the RV trip. I'm not ready.
Still PTSD.
I'm still not ready. Okay.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Everybody glorifies those. You brought that down to earth for me.
It was a great idea before it happened.
I love that so much. I meant to ask you too. I'm curious, how long have you been homeschooling? Did the kids ever start in public school?
Yes. Yeah. When we lived in Johnson City, Owen went to school here for kindergarten and then started first grade. And then all of a sudden we were moving. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't know the new area that we were moving into. So we moved into an apartment and he's not the best with change. And it was going to be a big enough change as it was to move. So I just decided, you know what? It's first grade. Mm-hmm. I can handle finishing first grade. So we'll just homeschool. I literally remember using air quotes, like almost like not for real.
Makes me feel better.
But we're just homeschooling to finish first grade. And we haven't looked back. Mm-hmm. We stayed in it, and then Charlotte jumped in, and it's just been a great fit for our family. One of the biggest blessings in my life.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And you were non-committal, right? Like you were like, we'll just take this. We're just going to go back.
And yeah.
Like,
yeah. And sometimes I still say that.
There's always plan B.
Yeah. It's just one kid, one year at a time. Right. I just need that comfort, like to know it's not a huge commitment.
Yes, I get that. Okay. So how long have you been a believer? Mm-hmm. What did that journey look like? And then when did you really find a way that you found that studying God's word felt like not an obligation, but part of your regular routine and rhythm?
Well, I have been walking with Jesus since I was 8 years old. Huge blessing to be raised by parents who love the Lord, and they loved us, and they raised us up in the church. And my mom was a Bible study teacher. Like it was in me. You asked about a system or what works, but I guess before I really found that, and even a care, like I knew it was something I needed to do. It's a spiritual discipline that we're taught when we're young. It wasn't until I was face to face with my need. Like we all need Jesus, right? We all fall short of the glory of God, and we need him. And I knew I needed him for that salvation. But I have some hard parts in my testimony where I fell into sin that I would never have seen coming. And whenever I came back out of that, I was like, all right, God, if it's going to be you and me, like I need this to be real. It was then that I realized I needed Jesus for, yes, my salvation, done, signed, sealed, delivered, but I needed him moment to moment, hour by hour for that sanctification. Like I was not okay on my own. And there was like a window in between that need and then finding this way to study God's word and for it to be alive to me. Because like I said, my mom taught Bible study. So I almost pulled those, you know, I really did. I reached at those and I was reading them and I was answering the questions and it wasn't it for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying never, but I needed something. I needed it to be me and like God and I, you know, I needed it to be real between us. And I joke that I don't read the Bible every day because I'm a good Christian. Mm-hmm. I read the Bible every day because I'm such a sinner. Mm-hmm. Like that, I need it that much. And
it's almost a perspective shift.
It really was.
Rather than checking a box, it's a pull in your heart, a longing.
Yeah, not something that God demands of me, but a gift that he has provided for me. Like I need that sanctification. I need that perspective shift constantly. And in some seasons of life, hourly, you know, minute by minute. And he's given us that in his word.
Mm. You say hourly, there's been plenty of moments where I've been in the house with the kids and they've seen me drop to my knees or a chair and literally pray out loud to God. And they're like, oh, there goes mom again. Yeah.
Like, this is the moment where we're pulling Jesus in.
Yeah.
Jesus, we're reminding ourselves that he's here.
Yep. If anybody's wondering, Amber and I get real country sometimes. When we Oh, I truly love that answer. I really do. Like for so many people, it's checking a box. For me, for many years, it was checking a box.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between being a believer and having a relationship with God. And when you open your Bible, the relationship forms. When your heart is longing for it, he's right there. Yeah. And it's just so, it gives me chills because I'm like, he's so close. He's right there.
Yeah.
So I love hearing that.
So I think that there's like, we have such a gift from teachers and brothers and sisters who have gone before us and left us, you know, books and their studies and their commentaries. And it's a gift and it's a good thing to use as a resource. But there's like this shift where we almost get off balance. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we're more comfortable reading the thoughts and the reflections and the commentary of others mm-hmm. who have read God's word than we are with actually studying God's word. And I think even in the church, especially in the church, we say we're studying the Bible, you know, we've got Bible study, but it's like, are we actually studying more of the Bible or is it actually more text written by people who have read it already?
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is an easy backfall. I mean, that's, and there's nothing wrong with that at certain
that's what
times,
I do, you know, I have a hard time reading the Bible. So I read a devotion that someone else has already read and their viewpoints and go from that, which does help me out. But what you're saying would, you know, I need to work on actually reading the word and digging into it and figuring it out myself.
Well, we have more discussion in this episode too. So if you're feeling like, well, wait, I do Bible studies, is that wrong? Like, no. Just hold up a second. Like, we're coming for you. Don't even worry. Yeah. There's more to come. But how important do you think it is? Kind of like John was saying earlier, like now more than ever, it always has been important, right? But like, what's the importance of digging into God's word?
Oh man, I feel like we could talk all day about just that question. Like, so important right now. Like, I just could spend hours just begging people. But if we did that, I feel like I would insert my own opinion or my own reasons. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, scripture itself has spoken. And like, God has told us how sufficient and how important scripture is. And I was actually looking for Ephesians I didn't know what I was looking for. I was just looking for a verse. It was in my head, and I didn't have my phone, and so I was just scanning through. So I'm going to read Ephesians 4:13 through 15. It says, "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood." And this is when we should be reading our Bibles. How long do we continue in these disciplines? Mm-hmm. Well, until we attain the unity of faith, the knowledge, as in the fullness and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Mm. And I just right now, all these things that are going on, and it's just comforting to me in an odd way that even back then, Paul felt the need to say this, mm-hmm. because it was going on then too.
Yeah.
You know, he teaches about wolves in sheep clothing, and we're seeing that a lot, and it's always been this way, and it until the Lord comes back and sets it straight, it's always going to be this way. Right. So that's the importance of reading God's word for yourself so that you know, because what happens in one of those devotions, or you're listening to a podcast, or when you're dependent on someone else for the teaching of God's word, how do you know when they're off track if you don't know God's word yourself?
Yeah, in church or whatever. You
know, yeah.
If you're a pastor. So if you're not
exactly
in it, you just don't know.
You have no discernment. Yep. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, the Bible itself seems daunting, and it is, like, it takes work and it takes practice. And it's like, I would consider myself having been a student of God's word faithfully for the last 7 to 9 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was when I was pregnant with Charlotte. So 9 years. Mm-hmm. And I still like am overwhelmed by how much I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's paralyzing sometimes. And sure. I think that's where we start believing the lie that Satan feeds us, that God doesn't have anything to say to you. He's talking to these teachers, and he's talking to these big names. Like, listener, God wants to talk to you. Mm. And I think that's like, there's strength. Like, God's word is alive. And if we're only reading the thoughts of others, we're missing out on that power.
Yeah.
This is so true.
Yeah. So 2 Peter 3:17-16 was the one that I came across last night that I really just want to share this too, if that's okay. He's talking about the letters that Paul has written to the Christians, okay? And he says to them, like, I get it. It's hard to understand. And he says, there are some things in them that are hard to understand. I feel like especially Paul, because he can turn a run-on sentence into an entire paragraph. Oh, goodness, and I have to be like, wait, what? And go back.
Yeah.
So Peter's telling the Christians, and he says, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. He felt the need to say that then. He knew. Mm. I mean, Paul was a contemporary of theirs.
Yeah.
They, like, you know, a huge language barrier, a huge thing for us is the language barrier, the culture barrier, but they would have been able to understand Paul way better than we would have. And he still felt the need to say, I get it. it's hard, but here you have to dig in, and this is why. Your own stability.
Mm-hmm. I mean, depends on it.
Yeah.
I love listening to this right now because, you know, John and I are going through some difficult times right now with just the economy and mm-hmm. being entrepreneurs in this economy. And it feels like each day has been an uphill battle. Mm-hmm. And I do feel at times listening to this, I'm hearing, you know, waves crashing, tossed to the wind, not stable, you know, unwavering, all of these words I do not want to be. And knowing that I can be the complete opposite by digging into God's word, I can stand strong and firm and know that God holds me in his hand. I know that he gives and takes. I know all of these truths, but they're not like a shield of armor unless I'm actually putting on the armor every single day, right? Like they're doing me no good sitting on my shelf collecting dust.
Yes.
But opening that book and reading those truths and hearing and being reminded of my sin and flesh and knowing that he can give me the encouragement I need. Mm-hmm. It's just so it's life giving.
Yeah, really. Literally.
Yeah. So it's just, I love hearing that because I'm like, oh, this is us. And I'm even in my Bible, not consistently. And we're going to talk about that. And I know these things, but if I'm not reading it, I don't remember it.
Yeah, we get it. And that's, I think, why Jesus compares himself and the word to the bread of life, because mm-hmm. I do love bread, but I don't eat bread on Sunday. And I'm like, yep, good for the week. It's a daily bread. Like there's a hunger there. And that bread is like sustenance. You know, mm-hmm. he didn't compare himself to, I don't know, Chinese food. He compared himself to bread, like filling, and you got to come back for more.
Mm, I love that. So good. Okay, I know people listening might feel overwhelmed by like digging into God's word and kind of like we mentioned before, it might feel even like a to-do list, like a open it, check the box, great, moving on. How do you get that shift? Like how do we enjoy studying the Bible? I know you said you've been digging in for like 7 to 8 years consistently. Yeah. I wish I could say that statement. I cannot. How do you make it become for you? Or do you have tangible tips that you can share with listeners to like where this can become less of a chore and more of a desire?
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to share like practical tips. And before I start listing things out, I want to say two things. One, if you are listening with your headphones and you're in the middle of doing something, like I see you, and that is so me. I listen to podcasts when I'm doing something else. So I do not expect you or need you to stop and write everything down. I've actually prepared a blog with a list of everything that we're going to share, as well as resources and stuff like that. So I'll get to that at the end of that. I don't want you to have anxiety while you're like, I need to remember this. Like, I got you.
People feel so seen in this moment right now.
Right? You know, I am that girl. So I want to just give that caveat before I start listing things out. And then also I wanted to share a story. So you mentioned that we work out together and it's kind of funny because we live in different states. But one thing that has been really fun is doing like the same fitness programs together. And so the girl that trains us, she's not aware, but we are.
Oh, she's aware.
Yeah. Her name is Caroline and she is a beast. Like just a machine. And if you're listening on the podcast, I know some of you are watching on YouTube, but if you're listening, just trust me when I say all three of us are beast as well. I mean, bodybuilder status. Oh, yes. So it pushes me for sure. Sometimes it can be defeating to watch her and try to make my body do what her body is just effortlessly doing. And so there was this moment when we first started working out with her and she does these crazy things. And so burpee, hard enough. She's like a machine when she pumps out the burpees. But then she does this one-legged burpee. And I mean, it's like a video and I literally look at it and I have this moment of, my body can't do that.
It's
like,
killer.
That's not going to happen for me. And I'm okay with that. And then I thought, well, I'm alone in my living room. I'll try it. And yeah, I tried it. Confirmed. My body will not do that. And so that was a couple months ago and we just hung in there and it, like I said, she really pushes me. And it came up again like 2 weeks ago, the one-legged burpee. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I pumped myself up and it was 40 seconds nonstop. And I guarantee you she did triple the amount that I did. Naturally. I guarantee you it did not look pretty. But there was no one to see it. But I did it. And I had a moment after that. And I was like, man, girl. Okay, humble brag. Like I did that. And I can't help but think about our own faith walks and what that looks like, because it could have been so easy. And I'm not going to lie and say I've never done this, to turn on a fitness video and see somebody do something that you can't do, mm-hmm. or that you don't feel like you're near doing. Maybe you don't even want to do it, and then turn it off.
Yeah.
I for sure could have done that in that moment. And we hung in there, and now I'm seeing growth. I'm still not at her status, and I'm okay with that. So before we start and we list, like you said, all three of us are going to share things that are working. Mm-hmm. There's like this tendency to compare in our own spiritual walks, just like we do in our physical journeys. And comparison truly is the thief of joy. And so wherever you are in your spiritual walk, I want to encourage you to just pick one thing, pick something new, and just pick one thing to try. Find something that works for you. Don't feel like, oh, I can't do all of that, so I'm going to do none of it.
Right.
That would be the worst.
Getting stuck would be the worst, not trying anything. I know when we went to the beach with Amber, was it last year or the year before?
Last year was Tybee.
Okay. Yeah. Last year we went to the beach, and when I went, I was like, okay, I'm going to try Amber's way. Cause we like get up every morning. We go do our Bible together, which was glorious on the beach together. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm going to try this Amber's way because she studies the Bible very differently than me. And I didn't really have a way that I studied the Bible by then. So I was like, I'm just going to try Amber's way. And I remember walking away from that being like, I can't do this. Like, I came home, and when I didn't have you right beside me, like guiding, walking me through it, I immediately was like, this is not for me. And I overanalyzed it so much that I stopped completely, right, because I was overwhelmed. And then I realized, well, just because that works for her doesn't mean it has to work for me. So I found my own way of doing it, and I've been doing it ever since. And now I'm digging into all kinds of books in the Bible because I'm leading from one thing to another. So all of that to say, if you're listening and like what Amber shares works for her, trust me when I say I tried it her way, it don't work for me, mm-hmm. but I have my own way and John has his. Like, there is a million ways you could do this. So just don't get stuck.
That's right. The important thing is the consistency. Mm-hmm. And I think just, I forget to pray, and that can be a game changer. Is just like, honestly, if you don't desire to know the Lord through the study of his word, like, pray that God gives you that desire in your heart. Like, Lord, give me a hunger for your word in a way that just keeps pulling at me and won't let me go until I'm consistently in your word. Like, he will be faithful. He is faithful. Mm-hmm. So he will be faithful in doing that for
Absolutely.
You. Absolutely. Yeah. Like you said, there's lots of different ways. And honestly, I do lots of different things. I'm kind of like, I just lose my attention span sometimes if I end up doing, like with Caroline, with this program, this is the longest I've ever stuck with one, and we're only 21 days in. Mm-hmm. And I just fall off the rails sometimes if I'm like, there's only the one way. So as we're sharing things, like, know that we're sharing things, different things that we do. It's not that every time we sit down, we do every single one of these.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's crazy.
No.
So another thing that I did was like changing the language of my quiet time. I have four kids at home and it's very rarely quiet. So I just like taking the pressure off of myself for that, what that time in God's word needs to look like.
Expectations.
Yes. Right? How many people picture like, oh, when I should wake up before the kids and read my Bible and it's quiet and my coffee's hot and there's a dim light and a cozy blanket, but then like a kid walks down the stairs and you're like, well, that's over. Close right. the book, move on.
Yeah.
Like, no, there's goodness and richness in that. Like, yeah. You know, just have your expectations low, mm-hmm. and it can look different for everyone. It can be in a coffee shop with loud noises and you've got worship music in your headphones playing, right? You know, like, it's not a one size fits all.
Yeah, for sure. So the systematic Bible study little approach is like just doing this. This is like a pattern that I would follow. And so it's what stuck with me. And I'm going to share the story about how I got into studying this way, because really the Lord had to reveal to me the need for it. Again, he kind of has to throw my need in my face for me to make a change. And so, like I said, I was really comfortable with the Bible studies. I remember when we moved to Johnson City, I opened up a Facebook group and invited strangers into my home to lead a Bible study because I just loved it that much. That felt like comfortable for me, and just opened up my home for people to be in there to go through this Bible study with me. Like, I loved it that much.
That doesn't shock me in the slightest.
So that was my comfort zone, and I didn't realize that. And so when I had the privilege and the blessing of teaching Bible studies at my local church here, and then all of a sudden that shifted, I was attending a Bible study of it was my pastor's wife at the time, and she like just saw something in me and she just took me under her wing and she asked me to substitute for her. There was a Thursday that she was going to be out. And I was like, okay, great. You know, I had seen her do it. I had loved it. I've done Bible studies before. And she told me a couple weeks in advance, okay, you're going to be teaching on James 5. And I was like, honestly, I asked who wrote that. Like, who wrote that? Because in my mind, she was telling me the study that I was going to be doing.
Yeah.
So I was like, who wrote that? And she looked at me like, James. Like, I'm sure in her moment, she was like, what have I done? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Oh, no. So I try to play cool, you know, and I like, I'm just being cool. And then inside, I'm like, brown paper bag moment, like, what? And so I get home and I'm like reading over James 5. And I'm like, this is so uncomfortable for me. And that's when I realized, like I mentioned earlier, like I was more comfortable with reading other people's thoughts mm-hmm. and other people's teachings, yeah. which are a gift, but can never be a substitute for God's word. Mm-hmm. And so that really brought me to, wow, I can teach all the Bible studies, but I can't study my Bible. Mm-hmm. And so I had to confess that to her, like, this is really uncomfortable for me and I don't want to let you down. And so she kind of took me under her wing and taught me how to study the Bible, taught me different strategies. And all of a sudden, God was speaking to me. And I had something to say, which was really cool. And now I was being one of those teachers to help break it down and to help people apply God's word. And that's when it became really real for me. And so in that moment, it ignited a passion in me to like, okay, guys, seriously though, all those big names, yeah, God's talking to them, but he spoke to me. He wants to speak to you and just yeah. like bringing other women in and saying, look, this is all I do. I remember the first night our life group came in and all the women just sat down and I was like, this is what I do because it seems so daunting and it is so simple. Things like repetitive reading, like just read it over and over and over again. Just a small section, whatever you're studying. Annotation is what you're specifically hated.
Wow, that's a strong word. Okay. Okay. Well,
you disliked it strongly.
She's not wrong though. I felt like I was doing a grammar paper. I was very nervous. I kept feeling I'm doing this wrong.
I know that's the hardest thing about annotation is like people are like, okay, what do I circle? Like,
yes.
I don't know. What do I underline? I don't, whatever.
I kid you not, when Amber was doing hers at the beach, I'm like a fourth grader looking over like the corner of my eyes at her paper, like, what'd you circle? Okay, that one.
So people that do not know what that word might mean, I do, of course. What is that?
So that would mean that annotating,
I do, of course.
That's when we print out like the scripture of God's word and we like literally James 5, I would print out James 5 double spaced and it gives me room to underline, to circle, to like make little notes, to find different rhythms and things. I mean, you can get serious with it. Mm-hmm. You know, do you remember like the subject predicate and all that stuff in grammar school?
I mean, kind of.
You know, not do you remember what it was, but do you just remember yes. the nightmare that yes. was? Yeah, people do that with the Bible and they pull out really helpful things, but that's not what I do. You know, that's just, it honestly became a way for me to interact with the text. Like I said, with the attention span, if I read it over and over and over again, just make it, I literally, when I teach people to do this, I tell them before you annotate, like you sit on your hands, don't let yourself touch, circle, mm-hmm. underline mm-hmm. anything while you're repetitively reading, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you and it is amazing. And so you just read it over and over and over again and give the Lord time. And then you start interacting with it through the annotation. And sometimes that's just circling a word and then going and looking it up. And I don't even mean like the Greek or Hebrew word. You can look it up in Webster's, people, like, mm-hmm. and it'll just give you a richness of and a deeper understanding of God's word.
Yeah.
But if you're up for it, the Greek and Hebrew, as you start studying those words, you kind of break down that language barrier, because English and the Greek and the Hebrew languages are just so different. And there's a richness with the Greek, especially, where these words have such deeper meaning that we're missing with our English translations. Mm-hmm. There's the word study, and then there's like the challenge, just different challenges for interacting with the text, whether it's finding an outline. A lot of the letters are easy to outline because you find like, oh, this is the greeting where they introduce themselves or they say the connection with their audience, or then they're encouraging this, you know, this, they're encouraging this church about this subject and kind of just breaking it down.
Yeah.
So that's like the really, you know, academic. It feels like you're just being a student of God's word, sure, and just learning. But all of that, honestly, you can do all of those things, but apart from the Holy Spirit, really gain nothing, mm-hmm, honestly. I think that our heart posture towards studying the Bible is the game changer as well. We really only study God's word to know him better. Mm-hmm. So if you've ever walked away from reading your Bible or even a sermon at church and just thought, I didn't get anything out of that, or that really wasn't for me, you hit the nail on the head. It wasn't for you. Like, God gave the Bible for us to know him. Do you learn things about yourself as you learn God and know him deeper? For sure. For yeah. sure. And your friendship with him changes. But it's not about us. And I think that's hard for us. So we yeah. get frustrated and put it away because I didn't get anything out of that.
Sure. I've had plenty of those moments yeah. in my past.
Yeah. For me too. So I have to, right. you have to push through and just remember that, why are we studying? It's to know God and to know him deeper.
Absolutely. I love that you have such a way that you, I'm trying to think of the right words to even say it, like you dive in, and it is like really reading, like you could take one sentence and dissect it into so much. And that was kind of eye-opening for me to see, because I'm like, I read a sentence for maybe like what it's worth, but we all know that opening the Bible, many sentences can have multiple like yeah. things to learn and take from it. And the way that Amber does it by doing that, is it called annotating?
Annotating, word. Yeah.
Annotating. It's fancy. By annotating, you are kind of dissecting. And it's cool because that sends you down a rabbit trail. Mm-hmm. I go down rabbit trails of my own in a different way. And I think it's interesting. I'm going to share how I kind of study God's word, and then we'll give John the floor to share his, because he does it completely differently. But I tend to dive more into a book of the Bible, and I pick it based upon like something I'm going through maybe. And like, if I'm, I don't know, struggling, I'll be like, okay, books of the Bible that talk on hope and encouragement or struggle or trials. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, James, okay, well, we're going to start there, you know, and study that book, whatever. So I don't always have a rhyme or rhythm as to how I study God's word or choose what I'm going to read. It's just something that's laid on my heart or that I've prayerfully asked for. I remember the season of looking for homeschool, I just was looking for something to help me dive into God's word. And Amber had spoken to me and said, well, seek God. And if you're seeking him, he'll seek you. And I found a Bible study called Seek. And so that was a rabbit trail of its own. It led me to that. And that study walked with me through my prayer on homeschooling. So it's kind of just, you know, give and take and how I figure out what I'm going to read. But then once I do know, I really just start digging into reading the word. But then I find myself going off on rabbit trails of my own through doing that. So I'm writing notes and writing things down, and I scribble all over my Bible. And I do that because, one, I forget my notebook 872 times a day. Like, whenever I'm needed, it's not there. And so I'll write in my Bible, so it's just there already. And two, John's dad's Bible is like my favorite thing ever. I can't remember if I've mentioned that on the podcast before. I feel like I've told this story 1,000 yeah. times. Who knows if it's here, you could hear it again. But his dad's Bible is like worn leather. It's bendable. It's heavy. It's tattered. It's the pages are thinned out from where he's turned them and crumpled. And there's dates and writing and highlights and markings all over it. And I have told him, when he passes away, I want that Bible. Like, no, it's for me. It comes with me because it's just so sentimental to me. And I see his whole years of life and history right there. And like his trials, his joys, all of it, the hills and valleys in that book. And so I want mine to be the same in 40 years. You know, I want my kids to see my book tattered. So I even changed my Bible from like an old one that I had that was a hardbound to a leather one so that it can become that way. So that's kind of another reason that I mark in it, is it's just, I have a nostalgia for that. But I kind of mark up in mine and mark my notes, because then I can, you know, I see things that maybe a year ago I was dealing with, and now I catch that note and it speaks to me in a different way now. But then also I'll be reading and I go off on rabbit trails inside of the reading. So for example, recently I was reading in James and I skipped ahead because John and I weren't on the same wavelength, like with where we were, we needed to like catch up on it. So I was like, we're not at the same spot. I'm going to go ahead and read something different in James just so that we don't get away from each other. So I'm reading in James 5 and it talked about Job. And for some reason, Job stuck out to me, the name. Like I've read James 5 before. Never have I, like, has Job highlighted itself and lighted up in my face, but it did. And so automatically I was just like, I'm going to go read Job and learn about Job. So I just flipped to Job and it was exactly scripturally what I needed. I was in tears because God spoke to me and knew there was a sentence that I needed in Job, and it was everything I needed that day. And that was God flipping the pages for me. So I tend to find myself doing that more. And that's how I get the goodness of God's word, is not always having a specific plan and not necessarily even dissecting anything, but digging into God's word and following rabbit trails and learning and pulling from different stories.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to be okay with this, but there's actually a term for what you do.
Oh gosh, don't put me in a box, Amber.
But what you just did is one of my favorite things that I've learned to do, and it's cross-referencing.
Oh, okay.
And so like the Bible interprets itself. And so as I've discipled women and tried to teach how to study the Bible, one thing is that before you reach for someone else's words about it, before you reach for commentary, check scripture on scripture. So that's just as simple as you and your whimsy, you feel like, oh, I read the word Job and now I turn to it. You just cross-reference, sister.
You would. She knows she's taken whimsy out of it. Now I'm like doing something like,
and now you're not going to do it for weeks just because out of spite,
totally
right?
Yep.
That's between you and the Lord, Megan.
Do not gang up on me, both of you. So accurate. Okay, cross-referencing.
Cross-referencing was a great one that I forgot, and you brought it in.
There's a title.
Yeah.
Okay, is there a title for what John does? Let's find out. John, what do you do?
Well, I'm a little bit different than you guys, so it does feel like I'm like more of a child when it comes in this, my journey right now.
I mean, everybody knows you're a child, but...
I know. that is accurate.
We love you for it.
That is, I know. That's why everybody loves me. But I've... not a good reader. So, you guys are, I have a hard time concentrating, you know, and a lot of times if I read a sentence, I don't know, I just read. So I have to read it again, you know, if I really want to know why I read. So, you know, I get distracted really easy. So I can't have a dog get up, walk around. It's going to distract me. So I got to get up early in the morning to be able to do this. But I always, because of this, it feels like when I read, if I just read the Bible and I might not be reading, like you were saying, Amber, reading the paragraph over and over and over and over. I would read it once and then just think I'm good. I didn't get anything out of that, but I read it, so we're good. That's why I do devotions, and that's why we're in the James book now, which has worked out good. But I'm finding that, like you're saying, when I'm doing the devotion, they list the, you know, the verse in the book that I need to go read that verse, you know, and read it and read it. And that way I'm just not taking their word on it. But then, you know, making sure the, you know, if it's truth and it's what the Holy Spirit wants me to, you know, understand. So, I don't know. I'm learning that right now.
But you also use your phone for like an audio version too, because that helps you, right?
And I think the app was Through the Word.
Is it Through the Word or Into the Word?
but it does really good, because so they'll go through the whole Bible. They'll read the verse and actually just go right through it and exactly what it means. But again, you're taking someone else's word for it. So you really need to be in the word with that verse and understand it. Then hear what they have to say.
Yeah.
And that's what I've never done. I always have a hard time understanding the Bible, but it might be because I'm not trying to read it over and over and over and then spacing it out and then just, you know, figuring out what words mean and all that stuff. So,
right. I think there's a lot of people listening that can relate to this. Like, oh yeah, I'm distracted. Oh yeah, I'm fidgety. I sit down to read and I'm like, oh, there's dishes in the sink. You know, like our minds go 200 miles per hour. I found myself reading the Bible before and then somehow I've trailed off into thinking about my to-do list for the day. And I look down and I'm like, where did I just go?
Oh, for sure. You get in the genealogies too. And it's like, what even just happened?
Yeah, I blacked out for a second.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So I don't think that you're the anomaly, John, by any way. I think you're probably the majority, if I'm being honest, in how a lot of people feel. But I think too, kind of like Amber was saying, praying and asking like, God, I'm distracted. Please like give me silence in my head. Like, let me be still.
And I do pray before I've started doing that before I start reading the mornings, you know, that my ears would be open, my heart would be open, that my mind can understand what he's trying to tell me. So when I do pray like that, it usually does help me during that 30 minutes or hour of whatever I'm reading.
Yeah, I can appreciate that for sure. I think that the Bible study, the catch is when you're reading a Bible study or you're doing a devotion, especially in this season of life, like the three of us, that's something we have in common is we're not in a season of life where we're doing a 2-hour study session. Mm-hmm. It's just not our reality. Yeah. So in my mind, if I were to start a Bible study, I just want to make sure that it's the majority of my time. Say I have 30 minutes on a Thursday morning. Okay. Is the majority of that time spent reading scripture, mm-hmm. you know? And if it is like that, then I'm good. But if the majority of that time is like the one or two verses at the top of the page, even if you look those up, but then you go straight to, wow, I just spent some Bible studies. It's a lot of reading.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of time. And while it is useful to supplement the Bible, if I'm being honest, it's actually being used to replace the Bible because I only had this pocket of time and I only spent this little pocket, you know, yep. on scripture. So that's kind of the balance in my mind in this season of life is if I've only got 30 minutes, I want 30 minutes of God's word, which is sharp and active and alive.
Absolutely. And we were kind of discussing earlier, you're saying we're in a very similar wave of life, but there's moms listening right now who have newborns and yes. are in very different seasons, or, you know, there's more mature people probably listening that have no children at home anymore. Like that looks differently, right? Like
yes,
there needs to be
we
grace.
Talked about the newborn, like postpartum season this morning, you and I did. And I remember, you know, holding a baby and I reached for my phone and I tried to challenge myself to pull up God's word and just listen to it. Sometimes in that season of life, you don't even have the capacity to read.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So just being aware of, you know, realistic expectations for the season of life that you're in, but whatever you do have, you know, submitting that to the Lord. I remember just listening to worship mm-hmm. and just praying over my children as I held them or as I struggled to nurse or yeah. whatever I was doing. Just like that was all I had to give in that time. And honestly, the Lord knows your heart. Mm-hmm. We like play this game where it's like, oh, I just don't have time right now. Well, if you're lying to yourself about that, if there is a time in your life, a time frame in your day that the Lord can redeem, you know that and he knows that. So we're really just selling ourselves short. We're really stealing joy from ourselves that the Lord has for us if we're not honest.
Right.
Because sure, we might be fooling people around us, but that doesn't matter in our spiritual walk. We're not fooling God.
Yeah.
He sees every second. He knows the hairs on our head. Mm. So he knows the moments that we have and our heart posture towards submission.
Absolutely. And not finding excuses and just submitting to God and saying, God, I have nothing left to give. I've nursed a baby 4 times throughout the night. I have zero sleep. I have a toddler who's waiting for me to make breakfast, whatever that might look like. He sees you taking, you know, 2 minutes to listen to a praise song while you brush your teeth that day. If that's mm-hmm. all that looks
and
like.
And singing it as a prayer. And that was your
exactly.
prayer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's no guilt or shame that needs to be felt in that because you didn't wake up and see because Amber shared on Instagram that she had a hot cup of coffee in the morning while her kids played happily on the floor and she got Bible time. You know, it doesn't need to be like, well, I only sang praise while I brushed my teeth, so I guess I'm not good. Like, no, it's you and God, y'all. It is you and God on that journey and what that looks like. And there's no guilt or shame for, you know, it looking different from season to season. And it should be changing, honestly. Like, oh, it shouldn't yeah. look the same always. So
I was convicted even last week. I was a volunteer for our church kids week. And so I was leading every single morning for 4 days. I was leading 12 first graders around and it was intense. Okay. And then like I would,
first graders.
Yeah, I would bring my 4 children and we would eat lunch and then we'd come home and it was like physical exhaustion, but also mental exhaustion. And so like I struggled, there were like 3 days where I just didn't have the mental capacity. And it was like day two, I heard the Lord's whisper, like, okay, but you've not missed such and such as stories or okay, you're caught up on this. Like even just having something playing while I'm I still fed my kids dinner
right.
that night and I made dinner. What did I choose to consume while I was making dinner? While they were playing or while they were zonked out, they were tired.
Yeah.
I had pockets of time that I did not submit to the Lord. It wasn't that wasn't a guilt or a shame. That was a conviction. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're listening to this podcast and you are feeling guilty or shame, drop it immediately. That is not from the Lord. It is not. Like we've said in this last little bit, like the Lord knows your heart and that's between you and the Lord. And so there is like the conviction is a gift because that conviction pushes you to action, pushes you to change. And on the other side of that obedience is growth.
Absolutely.
So that is a gift. Lean into the conviction, speak against, and do not accept that guilt or shame, because right. that is not from us, and that nope. is not from the Lord.
And that would have defeated the purpose of him dying on the cross.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's wasted energy. Mm-hmm. I love that. My friend Jordan shared something on her Instagram stories recently that was like a repost that said something about be honest with yourself about what you're gravitating towards during the day that you're replacing with time in God's word. Like you were just saying, you found time to make dinner or do other things. So like what's your reasoning, Amber, as your small conviction? And I'm guilty of doing that. Like, oh, well, it didn't happen at 6 a.m. this morning when it always happens. So guess that can't happen today. But I found time to read my fiction novel for 20 minutes before I went to sleep that night. So why couldn't I have done it then? You know, just being real. And like you said, that's not guilt or shame, but it is a conviction. And we should be grateful for those. Like God being like, hey, girl, come back to me.
Yeah. Know, or hey, boy. And, yeah. And just like, too, noticing, okay, do I have like, is there a lack of margin in my life? And is that because mm-hmm. if my plate's so full that I can't pursue the Lord and I can't worship and submit this time to him, then I might be too busy. I think that in our country, especially, like we idolize busyness, sure. you know, how is life? Oh, it's busy. Sure. That's, you know, that's an idol.
John's looking at me like, oh, she just stabbed me.
I don't like it.
Sorry, John.
It's okay.
That's the Lord. You need me to pull some scripture in. Do I need some backup?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So we've discussed different ways to read and study God's word, but let's talk a little bit about staying consistent in his word. Like give me like a glorified checklist. Will this be on the blog?
Yes, this is the one on the blog. Oh,
okay,
the good. List.
Okay, so nobody worry about running and grab paper, opening mm-hmm. your notes up. Just listen and meditate on these, but give us a checklist of like ways to stay consistent, because that's what we all crave, right?
Yes, and that's what we were created for, is just that open fellowship with the Lord. Okay, so really quick, some practical things. And some of these you're going to hear and you're going to be like, wow, Amber, that's really deep. But I feel like we need to be told to do these things sometimes.
No, I agree.
You know, there's like those obvious things that like, I knew that,
yeah.
but I still needed someone to tell me.
No, one of these you told me and I did it and I was like, oh, that was easy.
Yes. Yes.
How did I not see that?
Number one is to not put it away. I notice like in stagnant seasons, there are times where I go to find, where's my Bible for church? Oh, it's right where I put it after church last Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it gets tucked away.
Yep.
Don't put scripture away. Whatever it looks like that you study with, for me, it's just Bible, notebook, pencil, or pen. And I just leave it out. Okay. I leave it out. If like clutter, if you don't like clutter, just put it under a table. Keep it visible.
She's talking to me.
I'm talking to you.
She's seen my table.
Your table. Yeah. There's a nice neat lamp. It's a clear clutter, like clear of clutter. And then underneath, like there's a bottom shelf and it's visible. You can't be in your kitchen without seeing it. Mm-mm. And it's not like a pulling at you. Like that's something else I have to do. Like God's word is a gift to us. And so every stirring in our heart, like just keeping it out in sight is just prompting you to be drawn in and just to be reminded, like, I need that today.
Yeah.
I want that today. It's not something I have to do. I want it today. So don't put it away.
Don't put it away. That's, my friend Jordan keeps hers on the dining room table and I've noticed it's always there. Mm-hmm. And obviously it moves around the table, but it's always there. But it's because she sits there with her kids multiple times a day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
She has young
snacks,
kids in this season.
And she fits it in. It's always right there. She doesn't even have to go to a room to go fetch it. It's at the table. When they sit down, she has an opportunity to open it, you know, always there. I was like, oh, okay.
I love that.
That's such a great idea because I can totally see myself doing that even at the office if I had one on my desk mm-hmm. Instead of reaching for the phone. If I have a couple minutes to go to social media, mm-hmm. I mean, the Holy Spirit would be calling me to read,
right?
Especially if I see it sitting right there in front of me.
Yeah. And I mean, it's our flesh tends away from the truth of God's word. It just does. And so say a few days go by, like you've not fed the spirit. And so just that visual reminder, I feel like is enough to mm-hmm. ping it and to just remind yourself like, okay, this is what we're doing here. We're doing this. God has this for me. The next one we talked about is praying. I'm just praying. And I need this reminder, literally have written it at the top of my calendar some days, because I love the academic side of it. And so I dig in and I have not invited God into it. I have not submitted, you know, my thoughts, my attention to him. And so just reminding to pray during too, like, okay, God, what was that? I don't understand that. Lord, can you help me out on this? Can you direct me? What does this mean? You know, take those frustrations to him. Again, you're not hiding anything from him, right? Yeah. You might fool somebody else, but you're not fooling him. Right. So to sit there and be frustrated doesn't really make sense. Engage with him and just pray throughout and then thank him for the gift that it is. That was a game changer for me. And like I said, it's still something I have to remind myself to do.
Yeah.
We talked about postpartum season, and I think just being honest with yourself about your season of life and being gracious with your expectations. Like I said, we're going to list all these things. Pick one. Just pick one to try and try that for a while and then add something else in, or just don't make it burdensome and be honest about your season of life. Like I said, the three of us aren't talking about doing a 2-hour quiet time anytime soon.
Right.
It's just not in the cards for us. So being realistic about enough to where it challenges us and it convicts us, but it's not unrealistic. And then it paralyzes us.
Not overcommitting to something you definitely don't have time and capacity for.
Yes. And I think that the only reason we would do that is out of guilt or shame.
Sure.
So we're not here for that.
Or because Sally Sue is doing it and you're like, oh, well, I should be doing it. But she's, retired with nobody right. home, whatever. Like, just putting yourself in perspective of what you can actually allocate. Not over biting off more than you can chew. Is that what I'm saying?
There you go. That was good. Yeah. Thanks. This one is important. This is to study in context. So a lot of people have shared that they just like to open up their Bible and put their finger on the page and whatever that is, I think if that's your plan, that can, for a season, that can be maybe fruitful, especially if you're in one of those seasons where it's just like really quick, grab what you can kind of thing. But I do think it's very important because there are so many barriers between us. And it feels like the authors of this original text, like who God inspired this through and the world that they lived in. Mm-hmm. We do need to be intentional about studying in context. This gets scripture twisted when we study out of context. Think about the letters. It's nothing like, you don't have to go to seminary to study in context. Something as simple as who wrote James, James. Well,
I love it.
Great. But James was the brother of Jesus. And actually James didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah while he lived. Mm-hmm. Just understanding that, he almost missed it. Mm-hmm. And so when he speaks to us with conviction, we get it. When we know that about his story, he's pushing us to see and for our eyes to be open, because Jesus grew up in his home and he almost missed it completely.
Yeah.
So just little things like that, knowing whether you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament, something as simple as knowing the type of literature that you're reading. Proverbs are taken out of context all the time. What happens to the mother who reads the wisdom literature of Proverbs that says, train them diligently in the way that they should go, and when they grow, they will not depart from it. And then she has a wayward child. Mm. She's crushed, right. But that wasn't a promise of God's word. That was wisdom literature. Generally, if you train your children in the way they go, they do not depart from it. Yeah. But we live in a broken world and we can't hold that wasn't a promise meant for us to hold on to.
Sure.
Does that make sense? It what does. I mean for studying context?
Absolutely.
I think that protects us from really misunderstanding and then really being shaken in our faith because we had a bad come.
Right. And this is something as simple as I'm going to read the book of Ephesians, Google Ephesians, mm-hmm. and learn what it, who wrote it, when they wrote it. Right.
Who were they writing to? Yeah. Because it makes sense.
This isn't something difficult. You have to go find somewhere in a book. I don't know. I just want people to think, okay, well, wait, how do I do that? It's as simple as it sounds.
Yes. Yes. And you can literally Google it, the background information, Blue Letter Bible, the app, every single one, every single book of the Bible has commentary and has an introduction. You just click introduction to James and it tells you about the time, and it just breaks down those barriers that helps deepen our understanding. And when you first start doing this, it will all be brand new.
Right.
And then the next time that someone says, hey, do you want to study James together? And you say yes, you've already got that background mm-hmm. knowledge. You've already got that context to study in.
So then you see new things and dig deeper in a whole new way.
Exactly.
So. For what you're saying too, I really like the daily Grace Co. Bible handbook for exactly what you're saying. It talks about each book of the Bible and it gives you a couple of pages. It will say who wrote it, when they wrote it. It'll give you the main subject of like, this is a book on despair, or this is a book about going through trials and steadfastness. Like, it'll give you kind of that. It'll give you main verses that, you know, whatever stuck out that the author, but it also says like what the author was going through and where they were at and their point. So you can see whether they're suffering or they're what, you know, what's going on. It really helps me for like context of prefacing the book. So I have like an idea when I'm walking into it. Mm-hmm. I think it also shows like maps and stuff like that, but
it also has a timeline in it, doesn't it? Yeah. And the time frame
is, which is helpful.
So helpful. Yeah. I mean, especially in the Old Testament, because they're written, people don't realize they're written out of order. And
right.
Even something as simple as a psalm, it makes a difference. Like, why is David talking like this? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, he just murdered someone because of the affair he had, and now he's confronted with that sin.
Right.
Knowing that, it hits different when you're studying that psalm, it just does. To know it.
Totally.
So to get your bearings is a good thing, and to study in context. Something I do feel like all three of us are, you know, we've said like we're kind of all different ends of the spectrum as far as like wanting a plan. And so I kind of want to speak to two different groups of people on this next little tip. Okay.
She's dividing a line between John and I, in case you're wondering, but everybody already knows that.
Or John and I mean, or Megan and Amber.
Yeah, like, cause this is true.
And to the Megans, to the Ambers.
I'm like, the odd man out.
So like, I love a good plan. So here's my tidbit. Okay. And I think it applies to everyone. Have a plan. And hold it loosely.
Mm-hmm.
So we are called, just like meal planning, just like all of that. Like you're gonna need a plan. You're gonna need some kind of. You got to have groceries in the house to eat. Like you've done some prep work. So when you go to have that time where you're studying God's word, have a plan. Don't set yourself up to fail every time because you have no idea what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Have a plan. And whether that's like, just look on Pinterest for a 5-day Bible reading plan. I have several on my website, several just reading plans, or just walk through this book. Have a plan. I'm going to study the book of Ephesians this summer. That's a plan. That's all I mean. So have a plan. And also like intentionally plan the time. Okay. When you look at your week, I was telling you, Megan, like my Mondays through Thursdays look pretty normal, like look pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, those are the mornings that I have to get up early in the morning if it's going to happen most days. So that's when I plan to do it. Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, they all look different. So when I'm looking at our schedule, I try to decide, okay, well, if Friday I'm taking the kids on a hike and we're not going to get home, I'm going to go ahead and wake up early that day,
mm-hmm.
early, you know. If Saturday, if we're just home all day, I'm going to sleep in with Andrew and then sometime that afternoon say, hey, babe, I'm going to go read my Bible. Yeah. You know, it just plan it. And then also the hold it loosely for those of us who really like a plan and kind of get wrecked. If the plan gets wrecked, mm-hmm. just holding it loosely, because you and I have talked about like this like pressure to have our time in the morning. And then if it doesn't happen, we think, oh, well, I'll get it tomorrow.
Yep.
No, you can get it any time of the day. Like, the Lord is with you always.
Yes. I love you always put on your stories. We don't always, but you do it pretty frequently. A little like vote poll where you're like in God's word and you're like, have you already done it? Or you're like diving in later tonight. And I love that because it's open-ended to like, hey, you're not counted out. There's still time for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, wait, you don't have to do it in the morning.
It's a reminder. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I feel your planning. Do you get excited when she talks about planning? To make you happy?
I do not.
You don't?
No, but I need to do it. So
I'm very confused. You love a plan. You asked me for details 875
certain plans I do.
Oh my goodness. I think it's great. Yeah. I love hearing that.
Yeah. So it's funny because like no matter which way your personality bends and like no matter which way your strengths are, like it can quickly become an idol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's just the lack of structure and the lack of that turns into a lack of commitment or mm-hmm. a lack of discipline becoming an idol, or you have the plan and that plan is more important to you than the actual pursuit of God
mm-hmm.
in your study time. So the last little tidbit is to like three questions. What does this text say? What does this text mean? And what does this teach me about God? Those are just three simple questions after you've read the Bible. And that can be just super simple to push you, to challenge you to interact with the text and actually have something to walk away with. And we, like I said, when we learn more about God, we learn more about ourselves, and there's obvious things to convict us and to change us, and things that we can apply.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Have you loved all of this?
I loved it. Yeah. Ugh. I can't wait to get in my word.
Oh, I love that.
Like, I wish I had it in my hands now. I want everyone to hear, I personally fall in and out of consistency. I constantly feel the Holy Spirit nudging me though, and I'm grateful for that. Like, I'm grateful he's in me. I'm grateful I'm saved, and I know, and that he is constantly seeking me out. I love having that. But it's definitely a backfall of mine to not be consistent. So if you're listening, please do not feel like you're any bit less than for not having a consistent routine. I hope this episode gave you some encouragement, some ideas and practical tips to go try and do it. And if anything, just said like, hey, we're all just doing our best, but seeking out God, he knows right where you are at in this very moment, whether you are joyful and like living your best life, or whether you're in the pit and you're just trying to tread water. He is with you right there. So just, I challenge you to just open open your Bible today, whether it's on your phone, on an app, or tangibly, and just see how God can speak to you today, and try applying one of these tips that Amber has shared and see if it works for you. And I know Amber would love if you would reach out to her on Instagram and let her know if something from today's episode resonated with you. You can reach out to me as well. We want to hear it. But just, you know, sharing what's working for you. Amber, where can they find you?
Yeah. You can find me on Instagram, Equipping Arrows. I also have a blog, but on Instagram, I share, like you said, I share the little check-ins. I try to share sneak peeks of like my quiet time and my Bible study, and just like sneak peeks into our life, you know, just what God's doing in our life. My sweet spot is the DMs. Like, I'm not always consistent with sharing, but I do love connecting in the DMs.
So what's the website address?
EquippingArrows.com.
All right.
Yeah, I have loved the chance to be on with you guys today. Thank you so much for spending this time with me and for letting me be here. I hope it was encouraging to your listeners. And like you said, I hope they walk away with at least one practical tip to try and to just know God deeper.
Thank you so much for being here, Amber, and just sharing your wisdom in such a humble way. We loved having you. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast, and we will see you in the next episode.
See you next time.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you liked it, leave us a review. If you're following on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe button. On Instagram, follow us at The Modern Tulip, and we will see you guys in the next episode.